When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Buddy, how you doing? Well, that's good. Welcome to PHLY Flyers postgame. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. And yeah, I forgot to put the dog mask on. I was looking up shutout stats. I was looking up Flyers shutout stats from like the last decade or so and just totally forgot to put the mask on. This is JP Zapata. Charlie O'Connor will be by in just a little bit. Our Flyers have kept themselves alive. They win on Wayne Simmons night, a 1-0 shutout of the New Jersey Devils. And if anybody can appreciate a 20-save shutout, it has to be the Devils. So the guy got the record doing this. No, it was a really solid performance from the Flyers, I thought. Didn't come out great to start the first period. Didn't come out great to start the third. But I think they took over in each of those periods as they get the one goal in the second. The shorthander by Travis Konecny, his sixth, leads the league, 33rd of the season. 400 career points for TK as well on that goal. They kept themselves alive tonight, JP. What else can you say?
I mean, listen, I figured we would expect this type of performance with the Devils. Obviously, they're still technically still trying to fight for their season here, but with on Wayne Simmons night, we all know how Wayne Simmons used to love to play. I mean, he was a muck and grind type of player. He got the goals no matter which way it was. And on a night like tonight, listen, obviously it wasn't like a 4-goal game here, but they got just enough. The TK breakaway was beautiful. And more importantly, Bill, after the 8-game losing streak, back-to-back wins, and that's the most important part here. We thought that they gave up, but no, they're still fighting, and that's what you love to see.
No, and that's, you know, there was the report during the show or during the broadcast that the Flyers heard the noise after the 9-3 loss to Montreal. They were like, that was rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And we heard people questioning our effort, did we quit on this coach? You know, whatever anyone really said. And they bounced back from that. Now, ideally, you don't go on an 8-game losing streak. You don't lose 9-3 to one of the worst teams in the league. But I think a lot of the things that we looked at is like, yeah, you know, the goaltending's been bad. And yeah, they did play like 30 games in 15 days or whatever it was in March. Like a ridiculous schedule. They had the really tough gauntlet of games. Then you thought, okay, well, they'll lighten up with the bad teams they were going to play. And of course, that's the losing streak. And it would like so many things that we were just like, yeah, you know, they're tired. And it's really demoralizing when every other shot's going in and nothing. Like, you can just see how much looser they play with a few days off now. Like, they had the 5 out of 7 days off after last weekend's back-to-back. That was really big for this team, I think, especially for a guy like Travis Konecny's health and just Sam Harrison and the workload he took on. I think sometimes the simplest explanation we overlook with this team, and it's like they were never that good. They had to – we said for most of the year – they had to bring their A game in order, and they did a lot, and they competed and won a ton of games. But if they didn't have their A game, it was really, really difficult for them, and they just didn't have it for a couple of weeks. It stinks that it's probably all this is going to be for naught. I mean, they still have a chance. Right now, they are in playoff position, as we can show you the standings. They're in a spot. They can't get third in the Metro anymore. That's official, with the Islanders getting yet another loser point today. They're at 90. The Flyers can only get to 89. So this is it, the second wild card spot. And now they just need some help, some games tonight. We'll know maybe by Tuesday if that game's going to matter or not. But I think it's just very important for this particular group to finish the year strong, not on that 11-game losing streak we thought they might finish the year on, not giving up 100 goals a game like they were for a couple of weeks there. I just think it's important for this group to at least, like, we're not going into the offseason saying, they gave up.
Yeah.
Man, there's just a lot of pieces here that we know they need to add. Mm-hmm. We know they need more really good players. We know the rebuild is far from over. But we've talked so much about the culture of this team. I do think it's important that they finish strong, even if they ultimately don't get in the playoffs.
Yeah, real quick about the standings, I want to just give a quick scoreboard check here, because obviously we're all going to be doing some scoreboard checking during today's post game. But obviously earlier today, Rangers did take care of the Islanders. Right now, the Red Wings are up on the Toronto Maple Leafs at the end of the first period, 2-1. That's and right now, the Lightning and the Caps are tied 2-2. With the Pittsburgh Penguins playing tonight at 8 against the Boston Bruins. But so, look, you're 100% right. And I would still like to know what happened exactly, 8-game losing streak. Like, it was tough to believe that they just quit on torch just because of where we were at in the season and just how they were playing earlier on in the season. It's like, listen, you know, these are professional athletes. These guys want to make it into these playoffs, especially some of the veteran players that we have on the squad as well. But, you know, even like something like the power play kill. That and that 8-game losing streak, something that we really didn't see much of here today. You had a shorty again with TK there. And so little things like that were not there, and they were big here. We'll obviously talk about Sam Harrison, but he was also huge here today, Bill. But a lot of those things are coming back here for the Flyers. And it's just weird. Like, I just would like to know what happened in those 8 games.
It was just, I really think it was the culmination of a lot of things. But you just talk about, like, the penalty kill coming back around. They get the one goal today. It's a shorty. And, like, everything on that play is what they did so, so well all year. Like, Nick Seeler makes a diving play to break it up and pokes the puck ahead to Scott Laughton, and Scott Laughton just lays it out there perfectly for TK, and TK finishes the job. Like, that's what worked so much for them for so much of the year, and then things just dried up so terribly. But I do think it really starts with Sam Harrison, and you just look at the different stretches of season he has had this year. We've talked so much about his really, really rough start at the very beginning. So first 3 games of this year, Sam Harrison goes 0-2-1 with a .763 save percentage. Inexplicably bad. The next 25 games Harrison plays, 15-7-2 with a .915 save percentage. We're starting to think, like, yo, maybe he deserves some Calder consideration. Like, he's holding this thing down, and this is all the way, this is through mid, this is up until I think a game on February 12th. I think it was January 20th when Carter Hart, went away to eventually be charged with sexual assault. He held it down really, really strong. But then starting on February 15th, a 20-game stretch, he went 6-9-4 with an .864 save percentage. That's really, really bad. That's horrendous. And now his last 2 games, he stopped 24 of 25 on Thursday. He stopped 20 out of 20 today for a .978 save percentage. So of all of the things that have gone well, gone wrong with this team, the roller coaster that has been this year, I think one of the most important reasons, one of the the number one reason I want to see them finish strong is because that means Sam Harrison finished strong. And I don't want this huge question mark at goaltending. I don't want to go into next year going, like, we don't have anybody. Like, maybe it's Fedotov as the backup. Maybe Kolosov, he just kills it in the AHL. for a couple of months, and then he eventually comes up and starts getting some time. But right now, Sam Harrison is the most is the only accomplished NHL goaltender on this roster. I know, like, Kolesov is a highly touted prospect. Zavragin is a highly touted prospect. I have also seen many of these guys. I'll believe they're NHL goalies when I see them be good NHL goalies. Yeah. Right now, it's Harrison. I want to know he is something, and I think finishing this year strong will encourage that heading into next year.
No, that would definitely be a good start heading into next year, but this is going to be a question mark going next year if he is, in fact, going to be that guy. When I watch him, obviously, like you mentioned, after those first three games, that 25-game stretch, he showed you a lot with that 9-15 save percentage. But what can Harrison look like with a competent team in front of him playing consistently? Like, obviously, in that 8-game losing streak, that wasn't just Harrison just playing bad. That was the entire team just not playing up to what they're capable of, especially what you saw for a lot of this season. I mean, you talk about, you know, Seeler being out and all those block shots, which, by the way, was he now like 4 or 5 blocks away from breaking Jason
it's
Smith back
unbelievable.
In 07
Like, it's only been a stat since after the lockout, since 05-06. But we're talking about, this is 19 years. This is the 19th season since the lockout. So it's a long time. And Jason Smith had, I think, 204 that 1 year he played for the Flyers, was their captain. He was a huge part of a team that went to an Eastern Conference final. And Nick Seeler seems to be Jason Smith had a long, illustrious career. He was a really good player for a long time, won with a couple of different teams, went on runs with a few different teams. But, like, Seeler seems to be a guy of that ilk, just someone who kind of galvanizes the whole room, makes the plays that get everyone a little bit excited. And he did that again tonight with a few really nice plays, whether it was the breakup to start the empty net or to start the shorthanded play, a couple of big blocks, a few nice defensive plays down low. I really do like watching Nick Seeler.
Absolutely. We got a super chat here. Our boy Vince, why not us?
It's going to take a lot of help. They're going to need some help over the next couple of days. But as long as they're alive, like, what else can you do? Just keep the hope up. Listen, I know there's a lot of people out there, and I even started the conversation a few days ago when it was, well, you know what? If they just keep losing, they could finish like with the 9th worst record.
Yeah.
And that might not be the worst thing in the world to have a top 10 pick this year. Maybe you get a little lottery luck. It's even better. But I think for this year, finishing strong matters more. I know it's kind of antithetical to their like rebuild, but this thing is not going to be it's not going to be a quick process. I do not expect them to be in this position next year. Yeah. Just because, like, the Devils have to figure out goaltending. Mm-hmm. Right there. There's a team that's going to finish ahead of you. Like, the Sabres have to take a step forward at some point. Ottawa has to. Like, the Flyers could be in the same spot, but just other teams in the East have to get better because they're trying to. The Flyers are actively not trying to get any better. I just can't believe, like, I think they're going to have a top 10 pick next year. This year, to me, is a lot more about, let's see if we can complete a goal. Yeah. And they might not. Like, it's going to take a lot of help. But I want to see them at least do everything they can to see if they can get to the postseason.
No, 110%. I mean, like, if beginning of the season, if we were to tell you guys that the Flyers would be knocking on the door in a playoff spot at the final games of the season, you would absolutely love that. And look, the one thing I did say was you do not want to finish this season on a losing streak, especially an 11-game losing streak. And thank God the Flyers did not complete that bad boy. But look, this is how you want to end the season. And of course, on Tuesday, we have a great opportunity here to have a great hockey moment in Philadelphia, something that we haven't had in quite some time. Is that correct, Bill?
Yeah, I feel you, JP. Listen, we had some, first of all, let me comment on how great, how professional that was to see what I was doing, work through it, and vamp until I got sat back down with the mask on. Second, we got some comments that I was jinxing whatever luck the Flyers need by forgetting about the dog mask. So here you go. Woo!
All right, I have fulfilled
my
dog.
They were downing us.
I have fulfilled my dog mask obligation. I am glad we got through that.
We got another super chat from Daft Digit. We did it. We got the mask on Bill. We did it.
Listen, I can't believe I got through most of this season without forgetting. Because there have been plenty of times Bryn's like, all right, we're going live, and the music starts, and I'm like, oh, shit, need the mask. And, like, today, I didn't even have any ice-cold Coors Lights during the game. I just straight-up forgot. But we got it in for everybody. The mask tradition lives on. And let me tell you, now that we're serious again for a minute, let me tell you about Trumark Financial Credit Union. Listen, you've been listening to this show, whether it's just this season or to the Broad Street Hockey days. If my personal finances ever come up, you probably think like, oh, man, this dude, he's an idiot. And you wouldn't be wrong. So when we got Trumark Financial as a sponsor, I had to figure out what a credit union was. No idea. And doing a little bit of digging. Man, it seems like this is the way to go when it comes to your personal banking. Because when you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. With a credit union, you get better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options with the same digital tools and tech that make our lives easier and we have come to expect from any of our banking partners. Trumark also has local roots. They're headquartered in Fort Washington and have 24 branches in the Philly area. They serve our community and our people right here at home. And becoming a member of a credit union has so many benefits over being a customer at a bank. It just seems like a no-brainer. Head to Trumark.com/PHLY to learn more or to find a branch near you. That's Trumark.com/PHLY, federally insured by the NCUA. I just want to talk a little bit more about the season Sam Harrison has had. And listen, this is in no way absolving him. He needed to be better from mid-February until earlier this week when, like I told you, 20-game stretch with an .864 save percentage. No team can win that way. Mm-hmm. He needed to be better. Also, a lot got thrust upon him this year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, from just his first full season in the NHL, being a rookie, the Carter Hart situation, no viable backup whatsoever. I mean, like, the best backup they have is this dude they just brought over from Russia who didn't play last year because he was on a fucking aircraft carrier. You know, like, this is the goalie situation. And tonight was Sam Harrison's fourth shutout of the year. They had three shutouts as a team last season. One of them was Sam Harrison in, like, one of the 10 games he started. The year prior, they had one team shutout. This is the most shutouts anyone has had since Steve Mason had four in 15-16. Wow. And in 13-14. He had four each of those years. Briz had six shutouts in 2011-12. That's the most, that's as far back as I went because we were going live. That's why I forgot to put the dog mask on to wrap all that up. I was checking out hockeyreference.com. But
Briz had six shutouts.
Yeah, he had that streak. He had like three shutouts in a row, I think. At one point, it was like, oh, yeah, he's finally good. It's happening. And then, like, he started sucking again.
The universe.
Yeah, and then he started to suck again. But it's insane. Like, four shutouts. I realize that's not 10. Like, it's not some tremendous number. But the fact that it's been since 2015-16 that anyone has had that many for this team, I think goes to show you the potential he has going forward.
Yeah, and that's like the tough part about it, right? Because, like, he does show you some potential. But then, like, there are some games, especially during that losing streak, it's like, yo, is your glove good, dude? Like, what's going on there? But, like, that's what gives you that positivity, seeing those numbers that Bill's just rattling out there. You have to wonder, like, he has to be part of the plan. And, like Bill, today's NHL, like, you don't need a Martin Brodeur to win a cup, right? Like, having that great pairing, a 1A and a 1B, like, that is something, like, I think Harrison could fit in from what we've seen. But I do genuinely believe we need to just see some more from him.
Oh, absolutely. But this year was so much about information gathering.
For sure.
And I think we learned, given a normal workload where he's not starting, you know, 18 out of 22 or whatever it was at one point, he could be, like you said, a good tandem goalie. Now, listen, this is also his rookie season. Like, yeah, he could develop into a number one.
We forget that a lot.
He could never be better than that. Like, you don't know, but this is his rookie season, and I think he showed enough to me to make me believe, like, he's a good part of a tandem. You need to find that other guy, and what they do next year I think will be a big talking point. Like, do you just go with Fedotov? Do you bring in a veteran? The idea I had a couple of shows ago was, like, I think you need to run with three goalies next year, especially if the backup is going to be Fedotov And it's like, okay, maybe Kolasov comes up at some point. Maybe he doesn't. But I don't want to be in the situation of like, yeah, we got nobody, so we can't evaluate. It's impossible to know what Emil Andre is as a rookie defenseman if you're getting 760 goaltending. Like, when every shot goes in, like, eventually the goalie has to face a shot. No matter how good a defense you play, some are going to get through. Like, you have to get something out of your goaltenders if you want to evaluate everybody else. So I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to, like, run with three next year, especially when you look at this roster and go, I don't know, man, we're scratching Cam Atkinson, we're scratching Nick Delorier, like, what if that roster spot was just a third goalie?
Yeah.
Like, if it's useless, I don't want to demean the good goddamn name of Nick Delorier, and he's going to be here. He's still under contract. But like, you look at Cam Atkinson tonight. Like, what did Cam Atkinson's contribution to this game was? He took an offensive zone penalty that ultimately led to the shorthanded goal.
It was a great folly.
Good job, I guess. And that fall, he took him to the boards. God. I thought he broke his neck.
I felt that.
I was like, holy shit. Is he like, he got up. I was like, no way. I thought this was a disaster. Like, it looked bad, but like, he's doing nothing for you. If it's a player like him or a third goalie, I don't know, have a third goalie. It doesn't seem like the worst idea in the world to me.
There needs to be, I truly believe that just next year, there needs to be a vet mixed into that goalie room. I think that would be huge for no matter who's in
there. They don't need to go spend money. I'm not saying I'm not saying do the Briz thing. You know, I am not saying do the Briz. Oh, here's 9 years, $50 million, because why the fuck not? Because the owner got embarrassed in the playoffs by our goalie carousel. Don't do that, but bring in some sort of veteran who can be a stabilizing presence when, you know, a rookie goes in the tank for a week or two, because that's going to happen. All goalies have bad stretches. You know, but we are talking about that nice shutout Sam Marison put up a nice big bagel on the scoreboard today. And the only place you can find bigger bagels is at Bagels & Company. First thing you need to know about Bagels & Company, huge bagels, the biggest Brooklyn-style bagels made right here with Philly love, and a huge variety, usually 15 to 20 different types to choose from daily. And when you have that many kinds of bagels, you need a ton of cream cheeses to choose from. 30 different flavors of cream cheeses available at Bagels & Company. And the most important thing, they're an affordable brand. You get a lot of food for cheap, and that includes the coffee. It's always that coffee expense that puts you over the top, not at Bagels & Co. They are certainly affordable for the amount of food you get and the quality that you get as well. So for the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philly, head to thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the nearest Bagels & Company to you. All right, Travis Konecny.
TK.
Been a, I put on Twitter at one point today when I tweeted out the highlight of his goal. I was like, am I going to want to trade him? Do I want to see him re-sign this summer? Fine, the only way to know is to tune in. And this has been a flip-flopping kind of season on Travis Konecny. When he's playing well, it's like impossible to imagine him not in a Flyers uniform. It's a lot like Wayne Simmonds. Mm. Like, seeing Wayne Simmonds play for other teams after he left here was, I just didn't like it. You know, it was time. He had to go. I certainly didn't want to be the team that handed him his next contract. But, like, it sucked seeing him elsewhere.
Especially,
and I do
Devil's
feel
uniform.
That. Yeah, like, he played for the, you know, the Leafs. All right, man. Like, that's cool. Who doesn't want to play for the Leafs? But, like, you play for the Devils. That stinks. It's the fucking Devils, man. Like, ugh. And, like, I kind of feel that way about Travis Konecny. And seeing him tonight, like, he is that straw that stirs the drink. There's not another guy on this team I would have been confident was putting that puck in the net on that breakaway. But he just seems to every time. That low glove shot, man. I don't know how goalies aren't just like, I'm going to stand over there and challenge, dare him to just shoot in the other direction sometimes. But like I said, you know, scored the shorthanded in the second goal. Give the Flyers the 1-0 lead. That's the only goal in the game. 33rd goal of the season. His sixth shorthanded goal. 400 career points now. For TK, I don't, like, it's not the day to make, because we're going to do it all offseason.
Yeah.
You know, especially leading up to, like, July 1st when he's eligible for the extension. But he is so important to, like, the way I said you can't evaluate anyone when every other shot goes in. look at this offense with TK. Without TK, like, okay, so nobody scores. Like, Owen Tippett, every 2 weeks, he goes on a, you know, three-game bender, and then he disappears for a while. Tyson Forster looks like he's going to be a nice player. Bobby Brink looks like he's going to be a nice player. I have no idea still what Morgan Frost is. Like, if without TK, who scores ever for this team?
I get that. I totally get that, Bill. And listen, you know me. I love the way Travis Konecny plays, but I also don't want to lie to you. Like, the past eight game losing streak, it was truly sour taste in my mouth, because, like, I would expect out of all these players, especially with, you just look at some how these players are built, Travis Konecny would be that one guy to shake that bad play off this team, and he just wasn't there. Like, I want him back here, and I truly believe that the Flyers and his camp will find a number that they both can agree upon. But we know he gives us moments like this, but how many clutch moments in a Flyers uniform has TK had? And that's just my tough part with TK, as much as I love watching him play out.
No, and that's the, like, maybe one of the worst parts of that losing streak is, like, he's the guy, especially while Sean Couturier is what he is right now. Yeah. Now, I think he's looked better recently.
Yeah.
But, he hasn't scored a goal. He's got 2 goals this calendar year, and they were a while ago.
That's been a minute.
He hasn't, like, TK, if anyone was going to step up and just put a stop to that thing, it had to be him. Whether it's because he came back too early from the injury and he was just like, I got to play through it and gut it out. Like, props to him for doing that. But he needed to be bigger in those moments and maybe snap them out of this thing sooner to get them to the playoffs. And he just didn't. But he's been good again. It's a very frustrating situation because you like him so much. Like, how can you not like the way TK plays? It's like, man, I really needed you to do a little bit more during that losing streak.
I guess the better question would be like, all right, so the Flyers are good 2-3 years down the line. What kind of role do you see TK kind of filling in with that type of team?
Looking at what they have right now, you hope to find a real 1C, and then he's on a wing opposite Michkov or leading a really good second line. Like, that's what you hope. That's what you hope he is in the future if you keep him. He is, what, 26 years old? Like, it's not like he's old by any means. Right. It's just like, yeah, but when they're actually cup contenders, he's 29.
I know.
And then from that, like, how long is the window? He's not the biggest guy. He does, I don't want to say have a tendency to get banged up. He's only going to end up missing like 7 games this year, I think. And he did miss 22 last year. He's been hurt a little bit recently. So it's just so tough to, like, it's the hardest decision they have to make. What the hell do you do with Travis Konecny is the toughest thing that they have to decide over the next couple of weeks. But I think they have their minds made up. I think they're going to re-sign him.
Also, I do love seeing TK and Brandon Smith going back at it again.
They hate each other. They really just have some sort of issue, man. Like, that hit he put on TK at the, I think in the third period was like, oh, damn, man. Like, along the side of the net, threw him into the boards. Like, that is dangerous. But TK popped up, got right in his face, because that's TK.
That should have been the main event at WrestleMania.
Honestly, it would have been fun. I'm trying to be optimistic and, like, we're keeping the hope alive at least through,
I mean,
at least for one more.
I saw the standings right before going live, I was just like looking at you and Brenna like, wait, what's going on?
It was on the broadcast right before I walked in. They showed, like, for right now, at least they're in a spot. But this power play, man, I have never seen anything like this. What'd they end up going today? 0 for 3 on the day. And they're around 12%, if I can get the actual power play numbers up here quickly. Let's see here. I mean, you know where to scroll to. So they haven't updated for today's game on NHL.com, but they were at 12.4% coming in. They go 0 for 3, including over a minute of 5-on-3 power play time, in which they really never even challenged the Devils all that much. Like, the highlights, I guess, highlights, LOL. That they showed at intermission, we're like, how is this even, like, I know we say it as a joke, they need to decline power plays. I have never seen anything like this, and it's been so bad for so long. Like, The difference between the Flyers and Penguins, the Penguins have the second worst power play, which is
insane. So weird.
It's insane.
Even with Crosby playing at that level. Yeah,
it's basically the difference between the number two and number six power plays. Like, they're the worst by a lot. And even considering how bad the Penguins is, it's like 1.8% better. And this is a thing that's like decided by percentage points. It's almost two whole points better than the Flyers. It's been 81 games. And every game I watch this power play and go like, how? How is it this bad? The last two seasons combined are at 13.9%. No other team is below 16.5. This seems impossible. It's almost impressively bad.
Yeah, I mean, literally death taxes in that Flyers power play. It's literally what it is, man. But like, you know, you talk about that 5-on-3 power play. Like, you know, most fan bases, when they go on a 5-on-3, they're like, let's go, we got this. We're literally like, no, please, no, not a 5-on-3. We don't want to see this. And it's like, Bill, what drives me insane is like, is there a plan in place? Like, why are we taking these wide-ass shots from these angles? Like, I don't get it.
Honestly, like, if there is a plan, they need to say there. Like, if Rocky Thompson came out and said, actually, we've never once practiced the power play, I'd be like, oh, good. Because if they're working on this and it's still this dysfunctional, like, it's one thing to go on a cold streak, because that happens. You run into good goaltending, you have a few shots blocked, you hit some posts, shit happens. It's 3 years in a row. Like, I guess we can't hold the power play from 3 years against, but he hasn't improved it. He has done, it has not gotten any better. It has gotten worse under his leadership. And like, I think it speaks to the greatness of Lou Nolan that I even get excited for the power play. I'm like, yeah, Pico. And then it starts to unfold. And I'm like, why the fuck was I happy about this? They're better when they take penalties, you know? This has been a year-long problem, and it's really been a two-season-long problem under this leadership.
The day the Flyers have a top-10 power play, Bill, it's going to be the best day of my life. Sorry, if we ever get to that point, man. Because it's just right now, it's just rough. And, like, we all know, like, yes, they absolutely need some top-end talent. The best power plays have that. But when you just watch them play, like, there's just no confidence, no plan out there. And all of us fans are just ready to pull our hair out because it's just that rough to watch. So I can't wait for that day to happen, Bill, for us to get to that point.
I do have to shout out Travis Sanheim and Cam York. These are two guys, especially Travis Sanheim, that looked like they had hit a serious wall at some point in the last few weeks, just not giving us the quality of play. And I know Sanheim's kind of been up and down throughout the year. York kind of took over at one point as the true number one in terms of how they were deploying him in the minutes. Tonight, they both play about 25.5 minutes. Nobody else on the blue line played more than 17, 18 that they got from 40-year-old Eric Johnson.
Oh, my God.
These two have been... And, like, those guys hitting the wall, like, it's just one of those things that you look at the losing streak and go, like, it was inevitable. They had no defensemen for a big chunk of this season. It was those two. You lose Jamie Drysdale. You trade Sean Walker. You lose Ristolainen, who still isn't back. Like, Seeler gets hurt basically the day you trade Sean Walker. They ran out of dudes. And then the two defensemen they had, like, Sanheim was obviously hurt at one point.
Yeah.
And York was, I don't know if he ever healed up totally from the game before the stadium series when he had the shoulder. Like, it makes sense that they hit a wall. It makes sense that the team as a whole, when you look at the goaltending, you look at what happened on the blue line, like Zamula's play really dipped. It just simply makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's like another one of those things. Like, this unit has really turned it on in these last two games. I mean, you know, we look at that Montreal game, and it's like, was it Jamie Drysdale? It was a -6. Nick Seeler was a -5. And you look at tonight, like, Drysdale, like, he made some plays, but nothing like that stood out to me. But Nick Seeler's game really stood out to me. I mean, you look at the TK goal. What a great job of just tipping that puck to find Lotz in the neutral zone. And Lotz had a great pass to find TK. But Nick Seeler really stepped up. We all know the blocking machine that he is. And then, of course, like you mentioned, Sanheim and Cam York. Sanheim's game really stood out to me. Defensively, he was getting pucks out of there, but also contributing on the offensive end here as well. So obviously, look, Sanheim and Cam York, obviously right now is that top pairing. And if they're playing well, I mean, I really feel like it all follows suit with those other guys there. But great job overall by the defensive pairs. Show some love for Igor Zamula as well. He stepped it up as well since coming back.
And now we welcome aboard Philadelphia's true number one hockey beat reporter. It is Charlie O'Connor down at the Wells Fargo Center. Charlie, before we get into anything else, they're still alive. What else can you say about this team?
I thought this was just an all-around great game played by the Flyers. This was a defensive clinic, and I'm not taking anything away from Sam Harrison. He played a perfectly solid game. He deserves a shutout. I feel really good for him that he's been able to, you know, pull himself out of whatever rut he was in and find just a bit more energy for this stretch run. I feel really good for him. But defensively, this was as good of a game as I've seen the Flyers play all year. There was one breakdown I really remember, which was in the first period. I put it on Twitter. It was like the Red Sea parted in terms of the defense. Timo Meier gets a quality chance. Sam Harrison makes a save. But aside from that, I can't think of a major defensive breakdown aside from that one play. And it speaks to if there were any more concerns that John Tortorella has lost this team, they should be done. Like, those are that's out the window, because what you've seen in these last two games, but especially tonight, you saw a team that was adhering to the Tortorella structure as well as any team can adhere to the Tortorella structure. And that's not something a team does if they're quitting on a coach. So I love the defensive game. I obviously really like the big play that Travis Konecny made, but I mean, this game could have been 0-0. You know, this was a tight game. The Flyers just kind of out defense the Devils. And I know the Devils aren't a defensive stalwart or anything. They used to be, obviously not anymore. But this was a battle between two teams that were playing tight checking games that were making it so there wasn't a lot of space for anybody, and the Flyers came out on top. So I give them all the credit in the world for it. Great performance.
And Charlie, I made the joke that you would have appreciated at the top. If anyone can appreciate a 20-save shutout, it has to be the Devils, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about Harrison, because I think the most important thing about these last few games is him finishing strong, just so we have some grasp on what the goalie situation is going to be in the near future. And I ran through like his segments of the season. First three games, .763 save percentage. Remember the disaster. Then he followed it up with 25 solid games, .915 save percentage over that time. And then 20 games of an .864. Now he has stopped 44 of the last 45 shots he's faced. I am happy for Sam Harrison, like, finding this and the team kind of finding it around him too. Is it a chicken and the egg situation? Like, okay, the team can play more. They have more confidence in the structure because they know the goalie's going to make the stops, or he's able to make the stops because they play the structure in front of him. How has this turnaround happened now where all of a sudden both the defense and the goalie look like they looked 2 months ago?
Well, it's worth noting, and John Tortorella made this point today after the game. I don't think the defense was a major problem through most of the eight-game losing streak. It became a problem the last couple games, the Columbus game, and then obviously the Montreal game was a debacle. Before then, I think defensively, Flyers on the whole were playing pretty well. They weren't giving up a lot of shots. The goalies were letting them down. You know, whether it was Fedotov or Harrison, they were giving up, you know, 23 shots and five of them ended up in the back of the net. That was the goalies. Then I think the defensive structure fell apart as a result of a lack of confidence in the ability of the goalies to make a save and the inability of them to finish on their chances. I think it all gets fixed when they watch the first period in New York and they start thinking, Harrison can actually make saves again. Then suddenly they don't have to lose structure. Suddenly they can let games come to them. And I think the thing I'm most impressed about is how quickly they were able to flip the switch back, because sometimes it can take, you know, yeah, Harrison's making saves again. That's great. But sometimes it can take a little bit of time before you recalibrate to, we need to go back to the structure that was working all year because our goalie can stop the puck again. They turned that switch real quick. I mean, this game, as I said, I think this was as good of a defensive game as they played all season long. And it just seemed like all they needed was the confidence that their goalie was going to stop the puck most of the time. And once they got that back, the defense is back. So I don't think it's a chicken and egg thing. I really do think it's the goalies. The goalies are what drove most of this. The defense fell apart at the very end when they completely lost faith in the goalies. And now that they have faith in Erickson again, the defense is back. I think that's the order of how this went down.
Hey, Charlie, JP over here. I mean, look, I want to talk about the power play real quick. We all know it's not good, right? 0 for 3 again here today. But I saw your tweet, and I really agreed with it because, like, it just feels like there's no plan. On the 5-on-3, like, we're taking, like, wide-angle shots. I mean, like, there's generally, like, no plan out there, Charlie.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that the best chance probably they had on the power play tonight was a rush chance where Owen Tippett just goes through the defense as if it's 5-on-5. Like, that's one of the problems. And I've spoke to this all year, that I do believe that one of the reasons why the power play isn't very good is because this is a team that generates most of their offense off the rush at 5-on-5. And on the power play, it's significantly harder to generate anything off the rush because teams just sit back in the neutral zone forecheck on the penalty kill and make you beat them by setting up in the offensive zone. The Flyers don't have the kinds of elite playmakers that can really break down a defense on the cycle. They just don't have it. However, even though talent is a big part of this power play problem, this is not a well-coached power play. It's just not. And you can see it. I mean, everybody in the press box watching that 5-on-3, we were just looking at each other like, what are they even trying to do? It's all shots from distance. There's no motion. You have two more guys than the other team. You should be able to break them down. You should be able to confuse those three guys. I mean, when I watch great teams, what they do is they collapse. They collapse the formation, and they basically have it so, you know, they force the three-man structure to just kind of like compress into that slot area, and then the guys on the perimeter shrink it, and they basically make it so everyone is almost in a high danger position to shoot. The Flyers go further out. They actually go further on the perimeter, at least they did today, and that speaks to coaching. And I noted this on Twitter. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that I don't think Rocky Thompson's done a good job, but like, I'm okay if they bring Rocky Thompson back as the forwards coach. I think he's done a good job in that role. I think guys like Tyson Forrester, Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee, at least the first two-thirds of the year, I think they have all shown real progress under Rocky Thompson. But it's really, really hard for me to accept that, like, they're just going to run it back with Rocky Thompson running the power play. Because, like, I say you can't do it, but, like, I guess they can do whatever they want. They certainly could run it back with him. It just, to me, it strikes me as a complete and total lack of accountability if they bring Rocky Thompson back as the guy running the power play for next season. Because he deserves not all of the blame, definitely, but a not insignificant part of the blame, because not only does this power play lack high-end talent, it lacks any semblance of a plan. And that's on the coaches more than anybody else. I'm sorry.
And just to kind of piggyback off of what Charlie's saying there, last two seasons combined, the Flyers' power play is at 13.9%. And, you know, that's before today. 0 for 3, probably not going to change those numbers a ton. But no other team is below 16.5. The Flyers are sub 14, and no other team is under 16.5% on the power play the last 2 years. It's unfathomably bad, this power play. And it's hard to, you know, like, I didn't want to pin everything on the goalies earlier during the losing streak and everything, but it's like Charlie said, listen, when every shot goes in, what can you do? If the power play was just a little better, these last couple of games might not all be for naught. Like, if they just had one or two more games where the power play came through for them, they'd be in. But, of course, that's not the case. All right, Charlie, on Travis Konecny, I am, of course, back on the train now. who the hell knows, you know? But I thought it was very apt on Wayne Simmons' night that, like, the emotional leader of this team, maybe a guy who's had more effect on the emotion of this team than anyone since Wayne Simmons, scores the only goal, makes the big play, finds himself in the mix a lot. Just what can you say about TK tonight, the shorthanded goal, 6 on the year, and what he's meant over these last few games to get things back on track?
Yeah, well, it's obviously, you know, the last two games he has been the hero. And Harrison's played well, don't get me wrong. It's Konechny and Harrison, but to me, Konechny is number one on the list of reasons why the Flyers are still technically in this playoff race. Travis Konechny has established himself very clearly, which we knew, but he's very clearly established himself as the best player on this team at the moment when they need the best player on the team to step up and carry them. He's doing it. I asked John Tortorella after the game a question about the idea of guys playing to the level of this moment. Because John Tortorella last week, when he was talking about it, he basically said he thinks it can be taught. That it's not that there are some guys that just have it and some guys don't. And if you don't have it, well, we got to get rid of you. He believes, he at least said that, he believes that guys can be taught how to excel in meaningful games, in playoff-type situations, in the playoffs, period. He thinks it can be taught. And I asked him if he feels like there are guys on this team who are learning on the fly right now how to do it. And at first, Tortorella was like, well, I'm not going to name names, but yes, I absolutely believe there are guys on this team right now that are in the process of learning and making real strides in terms of learning how to make an impact in these kinds of games. Well, then someone else asked another question right after and asked specifically about Travis Konechny, not about my question, but just in general about Konechny. And midway through the question, midway through his answer, Tortorella looked back at me and he's like, TK's one of those guys that is right now learning how to be better in these kinds of situations. And Tortorella, I mean, this is a point that I made a few days ago. Tortorella more or less echoed it, that Konechny's problem, he thinks, is that Konechny's default reaction to when the games get more important is, I need to ramp up my energy even more. He's already always at 10 out of 10 energy. Now he's playing at 15 out of 10 energy. And basically what Tortorella said is that we don't want him to stop being unpredictable. We don't want Konechny to stop being him. But he maybe needed to learn how to dial it back just a little. Like just a little so that it wasn't wasted energy. So it wasn't just him running around like a lunatic, but not having a clue why. Just a ton of energy in all different directions and not actually productive. I believe, and this is something where this, I think, will pay, especially if the Flyers resign him. Like, this is going to pay dividends 3-4 years down the road when hopefully the Flyers are in playoff games, when they go into a series where they're favored, where we're expecting them to make a run. I think Travis Konechny is learning how to channel his energy in a productive way in these kinds of games and learning how to make an impact. Because, Bill, you've talked about it. The last time the Flyers were in the playoffs in that bubble, Travis Konechny didn't do shit. And it's a black mark on his career. And then during this run of meaningful games at the start, Konechny wasn't having the kind of impact that the best player on the team needs to have. I think over these last two games, it's almost like a light bulb has gone on in his head and it's clicking and he's starting to realize, like, this is what I have to do to play my game when the stakes get higher, when the pressure's on. And even if the Flyers don't make the playoffs, it's still probably unlikely that they make the playoffs, given the fact that it seems like everybody else is friggin' winning. If they just get out of this, that Travis Konechny now knows how to play meaningful games, that's a win in my book. It's huge, especially, again, if they re-sign him, which I suspect they will.
Charlie, real quick, I just want to look at this team and this bounce back that they've had. In general, like, they're playing with a lot more effort. But what's the main factor? What do you make of this bounce back that they've had?
Well, I think it really, at its core, and I mentioned this earlier, it's the goaltending first and foremost. Once you start believing that your goalie isn't going to give up a goal every fifth shot, then everything else kind of comes back together. The structure is better because you're not taking, you know, unnecessary risks or needless risks or whatever, both in the defensive zone and the offensive zone. And then you go back to what made this team competitive all year long. The, you know, winning battles in the corner, you know, staying in structure. Like, the Devils were having to go through layers of defense to create offense in this game. That's John Tortorella hockey. That's the defensive zone strategy that he has them playing. And it only works when everyone's on the same page. I think for those two games, the Columbus game, because the Buffalo game, they lost that game, but they played pretty well. That was a Fedotov just not being ready yet for the NHL kind of game. The Columbus game and then the Montreal game is when it all sort of fell apart. The structure started going to hell. I really think that's the key here, because I don't think they ever stopped trying. I just think that they lost faith, number one, in their goaltending. Number two, I think they, for a brief moment, they lost faith in themselves. They started thinking, you know, maybe everybody's right about us. Maybe we do stink. And suddenly you're getting saves. Suddenly you're getting some bounces. And the Flyers look like the team that was exciting all year long. Now, again, I have my doubts if they're actually going to be able to make it. They obviously need to win one more game, and then they need a lot of help. But at the very least, and we talked about this week on the show, Bill, that I needed to see them show that they weren't going to quit. That the at that point, I didn't even care if they made the playoffs or not. I just needed there not to be three more games of 9-2 losses. And they're showing that to me. So I'm satisfied. It would be cool if they made the playoffs, but I'm satisfied after these two games. I don't want to say it straight up because there's one more game left. I am satisfied with this season. I am.
No, I mean, I did not want to go into the offseason doing the did they quit conversation. That would be very annoying. I think it's important that, like, Sam Harrison finishes. There's a bunch of reasons. But, Charlie, I do have to ask, you know, I think a lot of us were questioning, man, what the hell is Cam Atkinson still doing in this lineup? You know, and then he comes out and maybe makes the play of the game, Charlie, taking an offensive zone penalty in order to spark the power kill. Now, we're not going to talk about Cam Atkinson today. Let me get your three stars of the game, starting off with star number three.
No. It actually was funny though. So at the end of the period, a reporter, I will not name him because I guess it was kind of shitting on Cam Atkinson, but he basically said that was the best play that Cam Atkinson has made in 3 months. That him taking that penalty to put the Flyers on the penalty kill and score the shorthanded goal. I mean, he's been rough. He was rough again tonight. He was last in the team in ice time. I feel bad for Cam Atkinson, but he's, at least this season, there's nothing left.
He did not play the final half of the third period.
Yeah, and understandably. I mean, he wasn't effective. It was very clear. But going to the three stars, I actually did the three stars tonight at Wells Fargo Center. So I will just be repeating the three stars that people in the building already know. My third star, and this was one where, like, he gets an assist, but I thought all game, Nick Seeler really set the tone. He's always a nutcase in terms of blocking shots, but I felt like in the first period he took it even to another level of just throwing his body around recklessly, getting in the way of anything. This was a defensive clinic, and Nick Seeler probably is their best pure defenseman in terms of being good at the defense. This was a Nick Seeler game. And then not only does he play really good defense all game, he also, with a really good play, basically is the reason why Travis Konecny gets that breakaway. I know Lawton gets the pass, but it's that Seeler play that makes that happen. And Konecny and Lawton were really complimentary of Seeler after the game, understandably so. I thought it wasn't a flashy game for Nick Seeler, but he's not a flashy player. This was as Nick Seeler of a game as Nick Seeler has had all year. And for that reason, he's my third star.
Let's hit it with star number two.
Star number two, Sam Harrison. Now, he didn't make a ton of huge saves. He honestly didn't make a ton of saves, period. He only got 20 shots on goal, but he stopped every single one of them. He avoided the weak goals. He played just the calm, controlled game that we've seen from him most of the year, really up until this past month when things started going off the rails. I am really impressed that, and I'm sure he's tired, both physically and mentally. I am really impressed that on the fly, he found a way to right the ship. I had lost faith, not in him as a goalie, but I had lost faith that he was going to be able to fix it this year. The fact that after this intense workload, all the games, all the pressure, that he found a way after that Montreal game to just, like, do a hard reset on the fly. It's really impressive, and I think it really speaks to his character and also just his mental fortitude. So, Harrison, again, I didn't think it was a flashy game by him, but he made all the stops. Flyers win 1-0. You got to give a ton of credit to the goalie, Sam Harrison, my second star.
Let's finish it off with Charlie O'Connor's first star of the game.
Yeah, star number one is Travis Konecny, and this is the second straight game where he is star number one. I'm not going to go so far as to say that he's putting the team on his back, because I don't think that that's what's going on here. Like, this isn't like a Sidney Crosby just, you know, making every play on every shift. But what he's doing, is he's playing like the best player on the team. He's playing exactly the way he has to play in order to be effective in these games. And in both these games, he was the best player on the Flyers, not just in terms of scoring points and scoring goals. That's great. But that's an after effect. That's a result of the underlying process being better for Konechny. He just looks like he's in control, but he's not losing that intensity. He's still involved in scrums. He's still chirping. He was yelling at Brendan Smith, just like he did in the Stadium Series game. Like, he was Travis Konechny, but he just found a way to dial it back just a touch so that he's having productive energy. He's actually, it's all coming from the right place. It's going in the right direction. And Travis Konechny, just like Arison, I'm really impressed that he was able to do that reset on the fly. And John Tortorella seems really impressed that Travis Konechny appears to be learning how to correctly approach these games for him. And for that reason, Travis Konechny, only goal scorer of the game, he's my number one star as well.
All right, Charlie, thank you for joining us from the Wells Fargo Center. These 5 o'clock starts are pretty nice on Saturday. We're going to get out of here at a normal time. Not too shabby. I will talk to you again on Monday, my friend. Take care. Until then, that is Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor. And I was doing a little bit of research on the Flyers, how they have fared against different levels of opponents. So I opened up the Bet Park Sportsbook app and just checked out the odds to win the Stanley Cup for a number of teams. And there are, on the Bet Park Sportsbook app, 13 teams listed at 25-1 or better to win the Stanley Cup. It's the Canes, Avs, Panthers, Oilers, Stars, Rangers, Bruins, Canucks, Vegas, Jets, the Leafs, Lightning, and Kings. The Flyers went 16-14-4 against those teams for a 529 points percentage. Then there are 18 teams that are either somewhere between 35-1 or unlisted because they've already been eliminated. And the Flyers went 21-18-7 against those teams. Well, 22 now, but before the game, 21-18-7. For a 533 points percentage. They basically put up the exact same stats against the not contender teams as they did the contender teams. And that's just one of the things that is so frustrating about this run and the way it's probably going to end when you look at the Flyers odds. They are last. They're one of the listed teams, but they're like 500-1 or something. Basically, they have to be listed because they're still in it. Right. But yeah, they ain't winning. But if you want to maybe make that big, big long shot bet, there's no better place to do it than at Bet Parks. Get in the zone with Bet Parks Sportsbook app. It's everything you want from a sportsbook app. Every future there, every game, every money line, every puck line you're looking for. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. So download the app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, so that I wouldn't recommend the Flyers at 500-1, but you know, some people have too much money. You know, might as well give it back to the sports books.
There you go.
No, but it's just another one of those. Like, I was just putting this together during intermission today, and I was like, man, just a couple more wins against some bad teams. Like, and I know we just went through like that stretch of losing to all the, you know, bad teams. But it's even like, you know, that Penguins game the day of the Gauthier trade where you just like didn't show up. And yeah, you did lose one to the Sharks. And yeah,
the first one.
If they just win that Sharks game, they're in. That's fucking frustrating, man. Like, that's a real pain in the ass.
Oh, man.
And now we're gonna go to Tuesday. And I just hope Tuesday is worth something. I hope that we can sit here and watch the game and it not just be like, all right, let's get through three periods and then do post game. And that's the only reason we're doing, like, we're only watching this game because post game's afterwards. Like, no, I want it to be for something. And it's unlikely, yeah. But they came so far, and you just can point to, like, man, if you had just showed up for a couple of the Senators games, you know, yeah, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
It's a different story.
But I guess that is, I understand that it's going to frustrate people. Like, this is why they needed to just tank and get the best possible pick. But if you can learn what it takes, you do learn from failing, I guess.
That is always my motto, Bill. Like, you learn from all your failures, and that's kind of where we're kind of at with this team right now. But I look back to, like, Tuesday's post-game show, and when Charlie, like, you know, telling us about his frustrations with his team over the last four seasons. And look, the 8-game losing streak, it was rough. That sucked. But we have an opportunity now to end the season on a 3-game winning streak. And look, we don't know what's going to happen, which we'll go over some of the scores with the other games in a little bit. But we don't know what's going to happen from here to Tuesday. But let's end it on the right note. And it's still a Metropolitan team. Let's go beat those Washington Capitals.
Absolutely. And that's two now Metro wins in a row after not registering one for most of 2024.
There we go.
They have two in a row now. And all we're asking for on Tuesday is for the Flyers not to chill. You can't have any chill, my friends, but we'll have plenty of chill because we'll be drinking some ice cold Coors Light. Listen, this team drives us nuts. That's why we need to chill sometimes. And there's no better way to chill than with an ice cold Coors Light. So whether you're freaking out about the draft lottery, the playoff odds, whatever it might be, you need to find the Blue Mountains in the back of your fridge and enjoy a beer as cold as the Rockies. Because when everything surrounding your favorite hockey team is on fire, sometimes you just gotta chill. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill, choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLY Hockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And while we're talking about Tuesday, we're going to do a live watch along. That's
what?
Right. We're going to be doing a little watch party here at the PHLY Studios. So not only will you be tuning in for post game, you get to tune in for the entire game with us as we provide our expert commentary. It'll just be really me, like, yelling at the TV and people watching that, I guess. But it was a lot of fun the last time we did a watch along. We have another one coming up for the final game of the season. It's going to be a great time, so make sure you join us for that. You have anything else tonight, JP?
Yeah, so unfortunately the Lightning could not do us a solid, so Capitals did win. Right now in the close to the end of the second period, the Red Wings are holding on to a 4-3 lead over the Maple Leafs, and over in Boston, they are underway 8:51 in the first. It is still 0-0, but we will see what the scores look like on Tuesday.
Just like one win against the Sharks and Sens each. One more, and we're not even here. We're maybe in that third spot.
All right,
but guess what? There is one more game, and we will be talking about it on Post Game Tuesday. I'm pretty sure we have our regular live show Monday So it'll be a mailbag Monday. Make sure you look out for my tweet about that so I don't have to come up with the content because you do it for me. All right. That is all the time we have for you on PHLY Flyers postgame. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Follow us right here on YouTube. Set your reminders so you never miss a live show. Podcast app is PHLY Flyers at PHLY underscore Flyers on Twitter. My name is Bill Matz. That is JP Zapata. Have a great weekend, Philly.
See you guys. We all silly like the mayor. You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.